I'll call this meeting to order. Please call the roll.
Beckett.
Here.
Bethel.
Here.
Thor. James.
Here.
Day.
Here.
Richard.
Here.
Staff.
Here.
Smucker.
Here.
Wyble.
I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Moved by James. Second by Smucker. Discussion. Mr. Sapp.
Can we move 8A forward in the agenda just because Jenny's here this evening?
Sure. I have no problem with that. Any objection? All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is there any public participation?
Approval of minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I skip some? Yeah, thanks, Dan. I entertain a motion to approve the minutes of April 7, 2009. Moved by Wyble, second by Richards. Discussion. Mr. Wyble.
Page 1011. Bottom of page 10, there's a motion to amend the motion was carried. Top of page 11 says original motion. That's sort of confusing. I believe the original motion should really say amended main motion, perhaps. And also, the vote is not 1-1. Probably should be 6-1. Top of page 11.
The main motion was amended. That's what the bottom of page 10 is. That's a motion to amend.
Amended main motion, perhaps?
Right. So the motion as amended carried with a 6-1 roll call vote. We'll check on that. Okay? Motion as amended. Any other discussion? Mr. James.
Yes. Tiffany, are you going to be able to put the numbers on the side so it'd be easier to see where everybody's at? Thank you.
I appreciate that the font is bigger. I can read it a lot better. Any other discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is there any public participation? Hearing none, we'll go to item 8A, Jenny Putnam meeting room pictures. In March, I shared with the committee Ms. Putman's request that the county consider the decor in the former meeting room 2, which is now designated the Jenny Putman meeting room. We arrived at no consensus to support the idea that was advanced, and I invited Ms. Putman to come to our meeting. She couldn't come in April, and so she reminded me, and so here she is. In May. So without objection, I'll let Ms. Putman present her ideas.
Is it acceptable to sit here?
Sure.
Okay. I made more copies of the letter that you saw in March, but just in case people want to refer.
Maybe we can pass those out, okay?
Since I've got this letter in front of me, I will say out loud what I would have said if I had been able to been present at the March meeting to talk about my ideas about what would be suitable to have on the wall in the Putman meeting room. And just let me say that the letter begins. It's an expression of humble gratitude for approving the proposal to rename the room as the Jennifer Putman Meeting Room. This honor continues to overwhelm me. My mother and father would be especially gratified if they could know what a workhorse the room is that bears the family name. In February, it was the site of at least 2 meetings per week, ranging from the Mental Health Agency's Council and Martin Luther King Celebration Committee to the Administrative Structure Special Committee, the Labor Subcommittee, the Caucus of County Board Democrats. I cannot tell you what an honor it is to have a room named for one, the family name. And the first time I was here at Brookins, a building named for Norris Brookins, a person of Urbana and of Champaign County, and I walked past the sign, and there it was, Jennifer K. Putman, spelled correctly, and my heart just leaped practically leaped out. It's very gratifying. I was kind of joking with John Jay today. He said he knows what it's like too, because there's a little college named for him, the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, named for the first Supreme Court Justice of the United States and one of the co-authors of the Federalist Papers. But I wouldn't be surprised if many of you someday do have a room or something else, an event, a conference, a chair at a university that is named for you. It is such an honor, and I've started to feel responsible for it. I don't mean that I'm going to come out here and empty the waste paper baskets and repaint it every so often, but actually, Deb, I have to tell you, it wouldn't even have occurred to me, but it was the night of the reception. It was the last county board meeting of the term, and we were going to pass a budget that night. But you said, why don't you think about how you'd like the room to look? I don't know if you remember saying that, but I thought,
aha.
Well, how do you want the room to look? Right now, in that room, are three poster-sized framed precinct maps. There is a very attractive watercolor of the historic courthouse, identical to one that I have in my study at home. There is a very dark-toned oil painting of a prairie cabin.
Always covered.
Very, very, very ornate, gilt-heavy frame. It's there's not a theme that draws together all of the things that are on the wall in the meeting room. But what I would like for the room that has the family name is to, looking at the resolution that was passed when it was decided to name the room the Putman Room, which I think I've passed out, there's a reference to the historic 30 years. And what made it historic, of course, were the people with whom I served. So I would like to begin a tradition here at Brookins of in this room named for Putman to display photographs of the chairs of the county board, starting with the first person with whom I served, Gary Adams, and then Jay Rayburn, Mr. Lyle Shields, Bud Barker, Steve Mosier, Tricia Avery, Barbara Wysocki, comma, Pius Weibel, comma, there will be someone after Pius. I would love to begin a tradition of honoring the leaders of our county board, the people who spend their nights, first of all, at these meetings and then can't sleep at night because they're struggling with the issues and the controversies. You are people who have people question your intelligence, your sanity, sometimes, unfortunately, also incorrectly, your ethics and your morality. But I respect the chairs of my county board, and I would like to honor them by having framed portraits on the wall. I could begin by, as the letter states, contacting the families of these eight individuals. I'm glad to say only one is deceased, my friend Jay Rayburn, but I think we could get a nice picture of Jay. The pictures might come in different sizes, but when I contact the families, I could say what we're looking for. It would be something like the picture of Mr. Shields. And when I receive the photos, as the letter offers, I would be willing to incur the costs of having them matted and framed. I think that those frames would be suitable. I would follow the frame for Mr. Shields' photograph. And it's would be a way to honor and mark the parade of time, the flow of history, and the people who have made our government what it is. And then I can't end this presentation without commenting on the commitment I made to Mr. Beckett, which is really why I didn't need to go first tonight. I've got about 30 years worth of who's who in county government here, because we really need to have captions for all of those framed prints, those pictures of the 27 of us. So often I'll see people who come here for public participation or just to hear what their county board is doing, and they'll look at the changing makeup of the county board, and it's amazing. But we don't have the names of who's who. Oh, well, here's who's who. And I was planning on spending the balance of this meeting making sure that we've got the correct names of the individuals who are in the framed photos. I don't know who began the tradition of what do we sometimes call it, the class picture. Maybe Jackie White? I don't know. But right. But I think it's a wonderful tradition. I'm honored to be able to share the camaraderie with so many wonderful people. So those are my ideas for an appropriate way to theme the room that's now called the Putman Meeting Room.
Discussion? Ms. Court.
I think that's a wonderful idea, Jenny. Excuse me. And I could support something like that. I think we need to start honoring our people that served on the board, especially as chairs.
Mr. James.
Jenny, your presentation was very well presented, a lot of information. I go in that room for other meetings, and I think that we all serve because we want to, and in my mind, we're serving the people, so they get just as much credit, because without them, we probably wouldn't be where we're at. I see pictures in here, and yes, it's great to look at them. Some of them are getting faded. It's hard to tell who's who, and, you know, like all of us, as we age, history means a lot to those of us that care, but to new folks, you know, they want to move on. You know, if you wanted to do, my suggestion would be something in that room. There's a lot of beautiful shots in this county that are scenic, historical buildings, something that would relate to when people walk in that room, because you are very in tune with your surroundings, that would show everybody what our county is about, how it's progressed from some of the older buildings to the newer buildings. Faces come and go, and there's going to be, for lack of a better term, a lot of old white men's photos in there. And I really, when I'm sitting in a meeting and I'm daydreaming, I'd much be looking at that tavern or the courthouse or something else. And that's just my suggestion, being serious about it, because when I go to the city building in Rantoul or other buildings, and when I see some of these paintings of the Civil War or different things, I think, wow, look at that. You know, I know about who the presidents were and all that other good stuff, but I want to see what the county's about. So my suggestion to you would be, even though that's an honorable thing, we have these photos up here with a lot of those, maybe you could rethink it a little bit and put in some scenic shots or suggest that. But just to see everybody's photo that's served as county board chair, personally, I don't know if I would like that.
Mr. Sapp.
I, too, am glad and voted for the naming of the room and respect Ms. Putman for what she's done for the county. I do think a portrait, and we had approved, I believe, already the hanging of a portrait in that room of Ms. Putman. And I can support that. I too, have a little bit of concern about honoring people throughout the county, not because I don't think they need honored, but because you tend to leave somebody out. There have been a lot of good people that have either been born raised in Chambin County and have done a lot of good things, or have come to Chambin County and done a lot of good things. And although the county board chairs, and again, I agree, they've kind of led the county through difficult times and good times, I just think we put ourselves out there, and it's difficult to draw the line. So I have a real difficult time in supporting the pictures of the county board chairs. So.
Mr. Smucker.
I agree with Jenny that the room doesn't currently have a theme. I spend a lot of time in that room, it seems like, on a lot of those committees that she named. And I think it would benefit. I think we should try to find a theme for the room. I think the idea of doing former board chairs is absolutely fine. I'm not sure why there's hesitancy with that. You know, and maybe there's room for a portrait from the, you know, there's certainly a lot of wall space in there, and there'd be room for portraits of areas around the county or historical sites or something like that as well. I think the proposal's fine.
I also support Mr. Puppet's proposal, too. I mean, granted, there are other people who could be honored, but let's face it, she said she's honoring the county board chairs. And she could leave mine off as long as possible. I don't care. But I think that, you know, those people did play a role, whether you like it or not. So I think it's a fine idea. And then, granted, most of the things we have on the wall here are pretty haphazard. For in this room, we have some plaques, things like that. There are plaques out in the hall. We've got a conceptual rendering, which probably could come down, and one over there is going to be out of date soon. It's really sort of a mismatch. This is an opportunity. We could start with one room, get it organized, have it set up, and then we could, you know, maybe make some changes in this room, too. I'm not talking about taking down all those floors there, but the others, we've got lots of space here which we could put things up, too. I think it's a good idea, and if she's willing to do the work, more power to her.
Any other discussion? Is there a motion?
I'd make a motion to allow Ms. Putman to go forth with the idea of posting chairs of the county board since she started, which...
76-78 term.
Since back in 1976. 78.
Further discussion? I'll speak on it. The reason why I'm opposed to it isn't because I'm opposed to the pictures. I think the pictures are a wonderful idea. It is because I look at this room, which is the Lyle Shields room, and I realize Mr. Shields didn't come forward with his decorating plan for this room, but it seems to me that he didn't know that he could come forward with the decorating plan. Neither Ms. Busey nor anyone else told his family that the room was now his room to decorate. I'm sure that Paul Pope's family wasn't asked to decorate the jail. I think it's honor enough to have the room name for Ms. Putman. I respect her. She's been a tremendous colleague. I've enjoyed working with her. I think it's going one step further to sort of turning the decor over to the room, of the room over to the honoree. I personally don't like county board chair pictures. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I'd put every picture of Abraham Lincoln I could possibly find in that room. Does that mean I'm right? Of course not. And so that's why I just don't think it's something that we as a committee ought to be taking up and addressing. We have lots of problems. This isn't one of them. Call the roll.
No.
No.
Jay? Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Sapp?
No.
Tucker?
Yes.
Weibel?
No. Motion carries. Okay. Courthouse Masonry Bell Tower Project. Project spreadsheet on page 16. Entertain a motion to receive and place on file. Moved by Court, second by Weibel. Discussion. One of the things that we have been talking about is an allocation of the as-built costs between the tower budget and the overall project budget. And this does not give us that. Is that correct? You know, at some point in time, we have to have those numbers. And so we'll have to work on that. But any other questions or discussion? Mr. James.
Since the weather's been cooperating lately, is there any date that they think they'll be wrapping up?
Go ahead.
The tower is scheduled for the 28th. The contract date is the 29th, so it's obviously pushing right up against it. The restoration on the size of the facility are due to be completed on August 21st. So that's a little bit within the schedule where they had originally planned. We have lost, I was mentioning to Mr. Beckett prior to the meeting, we have lost about 45% of our work days since February 2nd because of the rain. So he's working weekends. There's a possibility we'll be working 10-hour days in the very near future if we hit another 3 or 4 days of rain. So.
Other questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Here we have a series of requested amendments to the professional services contract. Mr. Inman correctly pointed out that instead of doing what happened with Highway, which is waiting until the end of the project to talk about potential amendments to the architect's contract, we ought to do it now. So that's why these are here. They're broken out in four separate areas. And so, Mr. Inman, if you would, just give us an overview and describe each of the contract amendments and what they entail.
Thank you, and good evening. The first proposed amendment, amendment number 5, has to do with unforeseen work that took place on the project. I believe it was October or November. I asked Mr. Beckett to join me on site to take a look at some stonework. And in this one particular instance, we found that one of the main I-beams was stuck in the middle of a piece of stone. It had been carved in the center of it. That technology really doesn't exist anymore to be able to do it, and with the soft stone that we had. So we had to make some changes when we went to the Pecos stone. There have been others along the way that are along with that. One of the major changes that was along the way, either it was communication or it was a change in philosophy, or it was of the removal and the reinstallation of the clock faces. That was never in the original bidding documents, and it had been assumed that it would have been taken care of by the clock and bell tower committee. When it came time to take care of those issues, we realized that we were not on the same page. So it took extra work to get that done. The West Arch and the foundation, although we did receive a credit of about $16,000 by reusing the foundation, it took yeoman's effort to get us to that point. The West Arch was unique in the fact that most of the arch stone had been cut into pieces. The West Arch stone is actually, well, it's kind of hard to describe without a picture, but it is really two large pieces of stone. It was a technique that, once again, was not evident in the research done leading up to the bidding of the project. And finally, it was the redesign of the failing tower lightning protection system. When we went to take a look at it and trying to find out where exactly it was grounded to nothing because there was nothing to ground to. So the design had already been completed, and to do it according to new standards, we had to come up with a new design for that. Proposed amendment.
Okay, why don't we stop there?
Okay.
Let's see if we can do this logically. Will somebody move the proposed amendment number 5 and get a second so that we can have discussion?
Hello.
Moved by Weibel, second by Mr. Sapp. Discussion. Mr. Sapp.
On the, just a quick clarification, I guess, on the clock face removal and reinstallation, that really wasn't what you're saying is not a shifting of responsibility. It was just never clear. So we're adding the responsibility to this contract.
I can tell you from the clock tower committee's position, it was, we had no idea that somebody expected the clock and bell tower committee to do something with the faces of the clock. They were already there. And so if something had to be done with them, the committee's idea is when you get up to this point and we're going to build up, that's the responsibility that we have. Because the tower was there, it existed. If you repaired the tower, you were going to have to repair the tower. And so that's pretty much what the committee has said. But you're right. The documents have said absolutely nothing about it, left it silent.
Well, again, that's why I don't think it should say shifting. We're just adding that responsibility to this contract. And I don't want someone to look at it later and say, well, why was it shifted? It truly
okay.
wasn't shifted. You never had the responsibility through the clock and bell tower committee.
Other discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? I thought I heard that. Okay. Amendment 6. Mr. Sapp.
I'm sorry. You stopped him. I thought we were going to finish that up. There's still a redesign of the tower lighting protection system. Did you?
No, that proposed amendment was $10,129.12. That included everything, including the lightning protection system.
Right. I didn't
hear. Did you have some other?
I did not hear Danny comment on why we had to redesign the tower lightning protection system.
On the existing system, when we started the whole demolition, initial review had it grounded correctly. All right, and then when we got into it, we found that it grounded to nothing.
Okay, proposed amendment number 6 in the amount of $2,845.
And because my friend Mr. James likes to bring this up periodically over the years, and I concur with him, the existing bollard security system throughout the courthouse plaza has failed. The weathering on the plaza and the salt from the streets combined together to have basically eaten away the foundations of the existing bollards. The proposal is to replace that bollard system with a cast aluminum system with a 5-foot I-beam stuck down into the ground. The sheriff has requested this, and that's one of the reasons that we're bringing it forward to you.
I need a motion. Motion in a second. Moved by James, second by Bensel. Discussion, Mr. James.
Denny, could they check in to put like a rubber sleeve on them? That would help, you know, because people are going to ding them and scratch on them, and if there would have been rubber sleeves on that concrete, they would have lasted a lot longer because they were eating at the bottom up, and then the metal inside was attracting the moisture. So I think you ought to, you know, a few more $100, I would hope. If not, we'll just collect rubber bands and string them around there.
Do you think you can look into that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Not the rubber bands, but the rubber cover.
Chair Weibel.
It's possible that those rubber sleeves would also attract water and trap water in there.
Why don't we just get raincoats for them?
Raincoats. Other discussion? Mr. Jay.
It's been my experience that salt also works on aluminum also, so I'm not sure we're going to correct the problem.
When this issue came up, and I have no reason to disagree with you, John, I asked Scott Walker to come up with the best that he could find at a moderate price that we could use there, and that's what he came up with. I will have them, if this passes, I will have them revisit it again so everybody can be on the same page.
Other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Proposed amendment number 7 in the amount of $23,388.
Yes, this particular scope of work is quite exciting, actually, to not only to the administration, but also to, obviously, the public defender and the courts. This is basically from the north side of the building to the south side of the building, and it has the following components to it. It will take the permanent jury assembly and the temporary jury assembly, which will be turned into a lobby-type area. It will create a HVAC zonal area that will enhance the energy efficiency of the area, but will also be controlled by the building systems, which will also make it comfortable for those visitors and for the prospective jurors. In addition, the south side on the masonry restoration on the south side had always been problematic. I believe you probably remember me talking a little more time than usual about the southwest corner and how it was bowing out. Well, that is in that particular area where we had an old canopy, we had an old storefront, and that used to be the old south entrance to the main courthouse. When the canopy was removed, we realized that there was some requirement for a brick repair to get the water away out of the building, out of the wall, wick its way out, and appropriately move it off the stone because there had been some stone damage there also. With the removal of that and the rebuilding of that particular area, it now becomes a secure emergency exit which the sheriff has requested, because currently and prior to this project, we were having individuals try to come and enter the courthouse through that because they saw the glass door, basically, is how that worked. And let's see here. And obviously enhances the whole building's security. It hinders the energy efficiency of the three different areas by zoning it out appropriately. And then the temporary jury assembly area, that will become a press conference area. Mr. Beckett, I think, can testify what he went through when he was trying to publicly, with the media there, come up and report on one of his law school reports. It's so inconvenient, it's just almost, I guess, embarrassing to the point. This will provide an area whereby you can go to and have a press conference if it should be required. Additionally, what would happen in that space is, I believe, phase two of the Lincoln exhibit would bring artifacts into that area and et cetera. This would take some of that cost out by go ahead and investing into the HVAC and the security and lighting into that particular area. I think that's it.
Need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Moved by James. There's a second. Second by Weibel. Discussion. Mr. Bensel.
A general question, I guess, addressing all of these. Where's the funding coming from for this? Is this coming out of contingency?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Is that, remind me, is that where the funding came from for the roof renovations as well?
Yes.
Are we going to just keep adding to this till we've ate up the entire contingency, or do we see an end in sight?
My goal, well, the plan, and I somewhat discussed this with Steve prior to the meeting, my goal is that this is the end of it.
That's exactly what I
want to do. So we wouldn't end up with the BLDD.
After the fact.
After the fact kind of thing, right.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Proposed amendment number 8 in the amount of $11,738.20.
This is the walking out of the building at the end of the project scope of work. As you know, we have modified the north exit now to be an emergency exit. What we don't have there is a sidewalk to connect, or how it's going to connect to either the plaza and or the Main Street sidewalk system. We also do not know, I don't know if the Clock and Bell Tower Group has decided on whether pavers will go in there or not. And then the most important portion of this is the existing paver system in the plaza, which will connect to this, is now heating. There are areas within it. We have had 4 claims within, I believe, the last 3 years, whereby when we have a transition from winter to the spring, that the concrete is warming up, the bricks are staying cool, there's a transition of moisture coming up through the bricks, and they're just slicker than whatever you want to think slick is. So consequently, we've had some people who have fallen down and have claims in with the county. The idea would be to remove those bricks and replace it with colored concrete, basically, and tie it in to the north entrance and come up with a final landscaping plan for that particular area.
All right. Moved by James. Second by Weibel. Discussion, Mr. Weibel.
Denny, replacing the pavers with colored concrete, is that a better product?
Yes, sir. They will add a grit to it.
What about for heaving or cracking up?
That should. The other stone components, concrete components, have not exhibited any heaving at all. Or cracking, really.
Are we assuming that we've just replaced the bad ones? That should be at the end of it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Schaap.
This is the only one in reading them that I really, I guess, kind of took me off guard as how could we not plan for the final product of sidewalks and landscaping? Mm-hmm. It seems like when we do projects, whether it's a remodel or a new build, we get towards the middle or the end of the project, and then we start talking about, okay, what's it going to look like when it's done? I would hope that in the future that these are areas that we would think about so we know that cost up front in it. We should, to me, have a final landscape plan and exit sidewalk type plan when we're done with a project. So
Chair Weibel.
I mean, one of the problems is that we had not planned on that door being a usable door.
Right.
It was strictly going to be a window or...
It was bricked in.
We couldn't plan for it because that was not part of the original plan.
Other discussion? Mr. Bensel.
Denny, you mentioned something about the input of the Clock and Bell Tower Committee on this. What was, I think I missed part of that.
Nothing on this. The only thing the Clock and Bell Tower said about was the clock faces.
No, he just said something about the committee.
No. The Clock and Bell Tower Committee had thought of another fundraiser where we were going to sell pavers out in the courtyard.
Okay.
And we haven't done that.
Okay.
We haven't done that. Mr. James.
I was just going to say, I like the idea of the colored concrete because pavers historically, you know, wherever they've been used or even on an old brick road, you always have some sort of problems. And when you're looking at lawsuits and long term, I think this is the right way to go. And like you said, they'll put that grid on top, which will cut down on some of the slickness.
Mr. J.
Aye.
Other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Sanford County Nursing Home update regarding Illinois Department of Public Health Life Inspection Plan of Correction. You'll note this sheet that you received at your desk tonight, which goes through each of the described items from the safety code inspection and describes the current status of it. I guess the first one, Denny, Autobahn has to replace that, is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
And the ones, was the total cost for the ones on about the exit paths $1,500 or was it $3,000?
The original estimate was $3,000 and we were able to accomplish it for $1,500.
Okay. And then the ones that don't have any red, what's going on with them?
Those are, we're able to accomplish that pretty much our own labor.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions about any of these? Chair Weibel.
Danny, you know what it means when it says IDPH informed us the issue has been removed from the deficiency list for this year. The for this year sort of makes me wonder, what are they thinking?
When this came to us, Deb and I, we sat down and we talked about it, and we just could not understand where they were coming from on this inspection. The previous year, let me back up, during licensure it passed. The following year it passed, and all of a sudden this year it didn't pass. Something just did not make sense. What really rankled us, I believe, was the smoke barrier issue, because, quite honestly, there's enough smoke barrier drywall insulation, dampers, etc. in there that there shouldn't be any issues along with this. So when we started investigating it, all of a sudden, moving forward to April 14th or so, IDPH sends a memo to, and rightly so, to Andrew stating that most of the deficiencies are gone. In a follow-up conversation with them is that the inspector cited the wrong standard. So we were correct. But the gentleman came back and said, we're going to try to apply a different standard to you on the smoke barrier. So I believe you may recall that last month I reported that we were using Riley Glarum of Isaacs and Glarum, and I have forwarded to him the new standard, of which none of us understand what that standard entails, for him to take a look at and see what we can do to get away from the $40,000 to $50,000 investment you'll have to make.
What you're saying is that these items will be reinspected next year with a different set of codes, and maybe they'll pass, maybe they won't.
Just the smoke barrier one will have a different code. The FRP will be within conformance, I would assume, within 60 days, so that should never be on the list again. The other items were relatively minor, minimal.
Other questions or discussion? Okay. Fiscal plant monthly reports. Entertain a motion to receive and place on file.
So moved.
Moved by James. Second by Smucker. Discussion? I think these reports are of no benefit if they don't have historical data. I mean, they're just a bunch of numbers to me if they don't. So if we could please make sure that we have historical data. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Sorry.
Yes, Mr. Smucker.
There's one other building I'd be interested in seeing placed on here, and that's the animal control building, if that's possible. Because that, or to have that, I'd be interested in just seeing the data. If you have it, you could just send it direct. Building, but my understanding is could benefit from some analysis of its power use.
Anything further? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion carries. County Administrator, Energy Policy. Approval of Energy Policy. Mr. Inman.
At our meeting last month, I believe that you vocalized a few changes that you wanted to them. We believe that we have captured those changes. Off the top of my head, it's item number 9, the use of renewable energy. The 8G employees will follow prescribed energy practices and thus individual appliances, et cetera, et cetera. We remove an ambiguous term from that. And I believe those were the major changes that I heard from the meeting, so we incorporated those. I would request, approval or something that we can get this done, because if we do in fact do go to energy grants, we need to have a policy to attach to those grant applications.
So to apply for the grant application that is here, we have to have an energy policy.
Well, any energy efficiency grants will require it.
All right. Is there a motion to approve? Moved by Smucker, second by Richards. Discussion. Mr. James.
Also, I want to point out, Denny, on 8G about the individual appliances, and that is that wording what we were looking for?
I hope so. I tried. I'll put it that way to you. Individuals did not come up with individual words, so I just tried to make it as strong as possible within a policy, and I hope I've met your criteria.
Well, I guess my question would be, the if utilized, the device shall be connected to a motion-activated sensor. Is that going to be at the county's cost, at the employee's cost, or?
Mr. Sapp.
So it leaves it hanging.
Mr. Sapp.
It does a little bit, and I agree. I think we pass this because we need to get something there, and then we have to tweak it as we go forward. I agree with Mr. James. I do think we have some liability, and maybe we have someone look at this and see if we have liability by allowing people to use those type of appliances in our facilities. Who checks them to make sure that they're UL rated and that they're not going to be a fire hazard, and who does all that? Because if something happens, then I think we've opened up the door to liability. So I will support this, but I'm worried about the words that are there and also about our liability. So.
Mr. Smucker.
I want to ask about the final goal that's there, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't put right currently what we're saying is we're going to try to reduce our energy use by half a square, 0.50?
50 cents per square foot.
Okay, 50 cents per square foot by 2010. This isn't a metric that we use very often. I know that Mr. Slawinski used it when he came, but I wonder if it wouldn't make more sense for us to just say 15%, because we can look at our bills and we can see that that our costs have gone down 15%. It's going to be harder for us to. This isn't going to be meaningful, I think, unless we keep metric. You know, we start calculating and reporting out in these metrics.
From my understanding of the stimulus package and the DCEO grants and the clean energy grants, once you tie into a system, they want you to stick with it for reporting purposes. And that's the philosophy of this. I believe, and I bought into the gentleman's presentation, that 50 cents per square foot would be a readily achievable goal, and second of all, you would be able to, by his formula, be able to document that very clearly to the committee on a monthly basis. Whereby the other, we haven't done it, so I'm
going
to finish the shooting.
So would it be possible then for us to get, as maybe part of the facilities report, the information broken down by square foot? In other words, can we know what I mean? We got the thing from Mr. Slawinski that had that sort of mapped out historically by a couple of years, just so we have something to look at in 2 years to say, okay, we've met our goals here, we didn't meet them here.
It seemed to me that if we set up the formula, it ought to be a plug-in number once we know the utility costs every month, so that when we get our facilities report, we have the per square foot cost. Isn't that right, Deb? Isn't that something that we'd be able to set up?
As long as you're willing to accept the entire amount that we pay, which, you know, includes additional charges. I mean, the bill is complicated, my understanding, so there's a part of it that, you know, there's probably 10 components to a power bill. So as long as you're willing to accept the total amount for that building divided by the square foot for that building as a defining...
But I'm wondering if the Energy Council wouldn't be willing, or a consultant there be willing, to sort of look at our bills and the way we report it to give us an idea of whether or not we're in the ballpark of, you know, the correct reporting. And then we, like we talked about, we can tweak that. But it seems to me that this is a standard that we ought to be using because it is readily measurable. Let's see, somebody else had their hands up. Mr. Sapp.
I was just going to agree that I think having the baseline that Mr. Smucker spoke about, whether it's a year's worth of, to set us up at a baseline so we see where we're at in a year, is really important. The other question then is, who sets that spreadsheet up? And the gentleman that was here, his services were available, and I believe he said he would do some work for us pro bono. No money?
I think that's part of his job. I think consulting with government is part of his job. So I think he probably would do it at no cost to us.
Okay.
My understanding is that they're going to assign a graduate student to us here in the next month or so. And
he's already been assigned, Mr. Martinez.
Oh, okay, great. So that may be something that we could ask him to do.
Other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, next item is the request for professional services required for energy grant funding, which you'll find at your desk tonight. Looks like this, GHR. Mr. Emmon.
Going through all the different grants that are out there, they all have one similar component. You need an engineer to calculate the savings before they're going to consider your grant. They're not even going to look at it until you have that. And so, therefore, to meet that criteria, I talked to Mr. Gleason, because Jim Gleason does have the greatest experience with all our facilities, to come up with, we met and I provided him all the grants that we are, right now that I'm aware of, that we can apply for. And after, upon reviewing them, come up with a scope of work and a proposal to us on how we could get to those points of submitting the grants. The stimulus package grants are due June 25th. The release on those was 2 weeks ago, so we have a rather cramped time period to get it done. And so, therefore, the letter that you have before you tonight reflects his understanding of those grants, what it would take for his firm to work with us in conjunction to come up and be able to apply for those grants. Now, Deb and I had talked about this previously. The component for the courthouse, we believe, could be covered through the courthouse construction line item. The other two, Brookins and the correctional centers, are something that we would still have to work on. And I believe I'm stating it correctly from our meeting previously. I guess what we would like to do is get the committee's concurrence on this, forward it with a recommendation to finance, so we can at least apply for either the courthouse complex, get a reading on possibly give us 24 hours to look at other funding sources for the balance of it, but at least get us in a position we have enough time to at least get some of the grants in for that are available under the energy efficiency. There will be a second set of grants coming out, and I'm sorry, Mr. Schmucker, to interrupt you there, latter part of either this year or the first part of next year for the actual facilities infrastructure that you will be able to use these for when applying there. That's my understanding.
Mr. Schmucker.
Is it possible to put some of these costs in the grant?
Absolutely. The stimulus package, one of the very first items in the grant is to cover the administrative cost for the grant applications.
Possible that some of this money will
yes.
be able to recoup.
Right. And in fact, in any grant that we will apply for, there will be an administrative overhead on it and will include the engineer's costs into it.
Actually, there's one other building, too, that I want to bring up again that and suggest possible to add to the list, and that's the animal control building, which may be the very $5 to $10 to a square foot being, you know, that's a building that, I mean, I would defer to the engineer, but my guess is that's a building that would not bear much money. I think it would stand out as this incredibly inefficient building that would be.
Mr. James.
Two questions. The first one is, any idea on what the range of the grants are going to be? Are we talking $100,000 or more? Or?
The first range is up to $250,000, then it's $250,000 to $1 million, and then it's $1 million plus.
Okay.
Actually, it's $2
million. And then I was reading GHR report here, and on this one, page 3 at the bottom there, he's talking about how he would do this cost-saving breakdown and come up with a structure. Could we not tell him to use the formula that we would like to use on the cost savings at the 50? And then he could sort of come up with a formula for us to use? Because I know what Deb was saying, when I get power bills and we've done cost, you've got your customer charge, transmission charge, and other related charges that, you know, they just eat in taxes. Of course, I don't know if you guys pay them. But, so if reading his little note there, he should be able to come up with a formula for us to somehow apply to what we want to do.
That's correct. And I believe he would work in conjunction with the other individual to make sure that we are on the right page.
Because I know before when we were talking about setting aside money for sensors and lighting and we were just throwing around $20,000 to $30,000. Everybody was like, where's the money coming from? Now we're talking about shelling that out for a consultant.
Other discussion? Mr. Sam?
Seems like to me we're putting the cart before the horse. The grant requires that we have an engineer provide plans on a project we want to do before we know if we have the money to do the work.
All grants ask you the question, simply, how much, by what you are proposing, how much are you going to save? That requires the calculations from the engineer. You can't.
Does the grant say that the calculations have to come from an engineer?
Yes.
I'm just amazed that we have to spend this kind of money and we don't even know if we're going to receive the grant. So we spend this kind of money and then we don't receive the grant, we're out that money.
That's
correct.
It
seems like to me that there needs, well, I don't know. I can't support.
All I think I want us to do is send us to finance. That's all I think I want us to do. We don't apply for grants. We don't apply for grants, do we?
Grants are supposed to go through finance.
Yeah.
If I could, I mean, whatever the portion of it is that is for the courthouse, the courthouse construction fund has funds in reserve in addition to the funds required for the current project. So you could potentially look at the courthouse project, that you do have funds available that could be appropriated in that fund, which is separate from the general corporate fund. But whatever portion of this engineering fees that will be required for Brookins and for the satellite and for the sheriff's office would have to be appropriated from the general corporate fund, which is why that definitely has to go to finance to get a decision.
Again, may I?
Yes.
Again, I understand we could maybe find the funds from that or whatever. I don't understand the grant requirements that would require that spending for an engineer fee to engineer this thing. So I would like to, if you could email me the grant, just so or a website where I go look at the grant, because I'd like to look at that. I've done a lot of grant work through mine and have never been asked to spend money up front to get the grant. You can put the money in of what it's going to cost after you have it potentially awarded, and then you say, okay, it's going to be this amount to have the engineer figure out what we can do to save that. But to have to spend that up front is just crazy, and I'd like to see it and put in my 2 cents worth for whoever wrote the requirement. That's ridiculous.
If you remember, on the Elias project, we went through the same process. And that was an Illinois Clean Energy Foundation that did that grant. I think what they are learning, and just in conversations I've had with those groups, that they would award grants to folks, and they would ask for a receipt, and they'd get a receipt, and then if somebody went and double checks to make sure that they bought 23 fixtures or something, it really wasn't what they got. And so I think that's what the tightening down is. There's a portion on the stimulus grant package. I still have not figured out what that question means. And we have a request for clarification into the federal government on one of their questions. And it has to do with the strategy and the calculations by an engineer to propose it within the grant itself. If you don't understand the question, you can't possibly respond. And so it is a bit difficult at times.
I still ask the question. What is it that you want us to do?
Forward this to finance with a concurrence or recommendation of acceptance.
Mr. Smith.
I guess I'd like to make a motion that we add the animal control facility.
We don't have any money for that. And I guess I'm trying to understand.
We don't have any money for the
office. No, we actually have money in the courthouse. Deb said that. We'd have to tap general corporate for the sheriff's office and Brookins and animal control. And we don't have any money in general corporate for that.
Actually, animal control, if you were going to include it, I would suggest that animal control fund would have to pay for it. Now, I don't know whether or not the animal control fund has the ability to pay for it, but their share.
Really, those questions are finance questions, not our questions.
Yeah, and I would also point out that this is not on the finance agenda for this Thursday, and it's too late to put it on that agenda.
And this has to be in by June
25th.
So what I will do is present this information to finance under other business and ask them if they would submit it to the county board this month for approval at the county board, or if they want to have a special meeting before the county board.
Let me return to you, Mr. Smucker. Why don't you make a motion?
I think I'd rather just talk about it at finance. I'll go to finance and
if I understand, it won't be on finance. It's on our agenda, so we could make a motion. Will anybody make a motion? Here's the motion I want you to make. I want to move adoption of a resolution to apply for an energy reduction grant pursuant to the proposal submitted by GHR Engineering Associates dated May 5th, 2009. For the courthouse, sheriff's office, Brookins Administrative Center, and animal control. Will someone make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second? Moved by Smucker, seconded by Richards. Discussion? Yes. Ms. Stepp.
Then the motion didn't say anything about it going to finance.
Okay, I want to amend that. And forward this resolution to finance for approval. Right, with our recommendation. You got that? Second, you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Discussion. Mr. Benson.
So just for my own clarity on that, it will be forwarded to finance, but not for the May meeting.
Well,
because it can't be, it's not on the agenda.
It's too late for it to be put on the agenda.
Right. So it won't. So we'll pass it here for their approval, but they won't approve it till June. Correct.
Well, I'm going
to unless they allow it to be placed on the May directly to the May board meeting, Mr. Richards.
As a member of the Finance Committee, I'm certainly going to push for this either to be put directly on the full board's agenda or for us to have, as we often do, a meeting before the county board meeting at the end of the month so we can expedite this. This, as I've said in county board meetings before, we're going to pay a little bit of money, which we might not end up paying anyway, that we'll get back, and we're going to get some pretty big returns on this. I will work with Mr. Smucker to see if we can work out a proposal for animal control, but that will be finance business.
Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Bensel?
No.
Howard?
Yes.
Jane?
No.
Jay?
No.
Richard?
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. De-lamping plan for courthouse. And this is back to us again, right? We had this at the last meeting, and you were to make some changes suggested. Do you want to explain this?
Yes. At our last meeting, you requested to streamline the process. So I, on page 40, under number 4, the Director of Facilities will report monthly to County Facilities Committee on the progress of the de-lamping plan and recommend any changes to the plans. Reports will be reviewable on the county website. The Director of Facilities, along with the county administrator, either or, in case one of them not present, can take the and be the liaison for the committee and enact those changes that need to be made. I have met with everyone except Ms. Reitz on this, and our schedules are just conflicting. There's the only reason we haven't met, and they are anxious to go ahead and move forward with this. We believe that we will implement this plan by using custodial staff because they arrive at 5 a.m. in the morning. We can get areas done very quickly. Another source that we may potentially use is requesting Mr. Gordon for individuals who need to work off some community hours who have electrical background to work in the non-secure areas, and that way we can get this moving as quickly as possible. It will follow the plan as outlined in here. And once again, any changes that are implemented will be in concurrence with myself, Deb, and the elected or appointed officials, and then we will revert to the Director of Facilities at that time.
Is there a motion to approve? Moved to approval by Smucker, seconded by Weibel. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. East Urbana Interceptor Sewer Project. Burns Clancy proposal for consulting services. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by Bensel.
Second.
Second by James. Discussion. Mr. Richards.
Mr. Chairman, could you refresh my memory? Are we paying the cost for this, or is the sanitary?
This is actually $18,800 that we got out of the agreement with the sanitary district last month that we approved at the board, and these engineering costs were included within that project. Mr. James.
I know we have no say-so, but I just look at some of these charges here, and I always ask some questions that I think are relative, but like on vehicle mileage, they can just set basically what they feel is right. They don't have to go by the county or the state or.
Ms. Busey, do we pay vehicle mileage on the basis of county policy to our contractors?
We often put that in our contracts. It's,
I thought that was part of our purchasing. I thought that was part of our purchasing policy. I thought part of our policy was that we would not permit anyone to charge us for reimbursement, out-of-pocket reimbursements at a rate different than we approved. Am I making that up, John? Is that something we dealt with a long time ago? So your recommendation is that cost reimbursement would have to, That cost reimbursed would have to be consistent with county policy, would have to be an express term. Is that right? Deb?
That's what I typically put in contracts. I mean, I didn't see this contract previously, but I typically that's what we would include, is that it's consistent with county policy.
Okay, so, Mr. Smucker, will you treat that as a friendly amendment that all costs reimbursed under the Burns Clancy proposal must be consistent with county policy for cost reimbursements?
I would, except I think I'm not the primary mover.
I thought you were the mover. And oh, Mr. Bensel, Mr. James, would you? Okay, Mr. James, would you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So, are the amendments are all on regular? The meeting room pictures is on regular. The energy policy, you want that on regular? There was no vote. Anybody?
Yeah, I think that's okay. Probably a good idea.
And the energy grants going on that, we don't have to worry about that. Delamping, you want that on regular? Yes, okay. And the Burns Clancy, you want that on regular? Yes, okay. Everything's on regular. Any other business? Oh, I know. There is other business, and I apologize. The email that you didn't get, Stan, the email that you did, one of the emails that you didn't get from me that I actually followed up with Ron was about the county building code issue that you and I had been discussing. And Ms. Busey was out of the office, and she didn't get my email either because county email was down. And she's getting for us the LaSalle County Building Code System, okay? Ms. Busey believes that this is an item that belongs, subject to you, Mr. Weibel, with ELUC and not with us. You know, we're not responsible for buildings out in the county. We're responsible for our own buildings. And I would suggest that that I will talk to Ms. Wasaki and see if she'll place it on the agenda. Do you want it on policy?
No, I agree. Probably go through ELUC. I'm just curious, where did this issue start?
Mr. James, you want to describe that?
Well, what's that?
How this issue started?
Well, just briefly, we've been getting complaints out in the rural areas, mainly around the Rantoul, Thomasboro area, and we've been looking at it, and the codes are almost non-existing.
There's also some recent legislatures passed on this, too. There's actually some ongoing right now, which may have an effect on this. I've sort of been waiting for that to happen, and also when the wind turbine item out of the way, that we can look at that.
But we need to start pulling this all together.
I agree.
And it can spread, and that's why my tune.
I heard that there was some huge apartment complex that had the sewage stream was non-existent, and it was absolutely horrible. That's what I heard. Now, that's just
rumor,
gossip, whatever.
One last thing before we jump in here, Mr. Beckett, if I may. On that Burns and Clancy, that was unanimous. Can't we just put that on consent?
Well, that's why I asked.
That's what he was asking.
That's why I asked. I went down the list. That's what I'm supposed to do. Do you want that on regular agenda?
Well, everybody. Everybody
went
just going
too
regular,
fast,
and
Steve.
I sort of
you
thought
just went down the list too fast for him.
Yeah. I was like Jay. I was thinking how
do you want Burns Clancy on consent? Yes? Okay. Is there any other item that you see on the agenda tonight that you want on consent? Because I remember no votes to just about everything.
So
yeah. Well, the energy policy passed unanimously, and so did the delamping policy. But, you know, I think there are good reasons to make those public. All right. Any other business? Adjourn.
Thank you.
Okay. Fine. That's fine. Confirm.